Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we continue to read our Suffer Well devotional. We got a powerful one for you today. Hallelujah. Praise our wonderful Creator, for this is the day He has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Yes, we're going to read this devotional from the Suffer Well devotional series, and then we're going to do a little teaching on it. So we begin. As I live, says Yahweh Almighty, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the people and gather you in the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the people, and there I will plead my case with you face to face, just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt. So I will plead my case with you, says Yahweh Almighty. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out to the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. Ezekiel 20, verses 30 to 38. Hallelujah. Think of the passing through. Think of passing through a metal detector on your way to a courtroom. The detector, perfectly placed, will not allow entrance until anything potentially dangerous has been removed. And so it is with the rod that I cause to fall upon you. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. The covenant is love. The removal of anything that damages love must take place before you can stand in my presence. This is why the rod is a must. He must spare his rod who hates his son. But he who loves discipline, disciplines him promptly. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Even my son cried out at his crucifixion, "Why have you forsaken me?" Matthew 27, 46. This is the fulfillment of a pure mind, as all the sins of mankind, past and future, were borne to by him in an instant. Why was it necessary? That he might present her, the bride, to himself, a glorious congregation, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she, the bride, should be holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:27. There can be nothing but purity in my presence. There can be no trace of flesh, the first Adam previously spoken of. There can be no dross. There can be no defeat. In my house, there is no spot and no speckle under the glorious bride, holy and without blemish. My son declares it, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5, verse 48. Yes, child, take comfort that my eyes are ever upon you as my rod strikes. Why are you still holding onto the fleshly thoughts? And where are they from? What are you still trying to hide from me? These are the questions that the rod answers. I desire you learn quickly through my long suffering indoors. Changing faulty patterns of the mind into pure patterns of the mind. It is for this the rod was designed. For some, purity arrives more easily. How so? They relish the discipline. Abba, your rod is your love. Do not remove it until it is found. I have found you. These will rise. These are my sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a powerful message and a powerful word we get in this. And I want to talk to you a little bit about today about Yeshua, who it means they call him Jesus. His name's Yeshua. It means the salvation of Yahweh, who brings redemption for all of us. We have to understand who he is and what it means to be of a gospel of the good news. Let me give you some quotes by some people. Martin Luther said, the recognition of sin, or recognizing sin, is the beginning of salvation. There's another quote here by Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers of all time. It says, a man is not saved against his will, but he is made willing by the operation of the Holy Spirit. A mighty grace which does not wish to resist enters into the man, disarms him, makes him a new creature of him, and he is saved. Hallelujah. And then John Calvin goes on to say, since no man is excluded from calling upon Yahweh at the gate of salvation, it is open to all. There is nothing else to hinder us from entering but our own unbelief. So we get another quote here. Somebody says, in saving the world, therefore, he must not try to alter a man's flesh. He instead gives a man a new life in order to help him put it to death. The flesh must die. This is salvation. Hallelujah. So we have to look at the problem that we have here. We have to look at the problem here. There's a quote in this world that says, God loves the sinner but hates the sin. Or he hates the sinner, but he loves the sinner. And I've been saying for years, that's not a biblical concept. That's not a biblical quote. That quote came, you will find nowhere in scripture. That's not a Bible verse. That came from Gandhi, not a believer. The whole idea and the concept of that, Yahweh hates the sin but loves the sinner. No. It's very misleading. Yahweh loves and hates individuals themselves, not merely their disembodied actions. Some people find that hard to believe, but we need to look and understand the truth of what Scripture says. In the Scripture, we see Psalms 5:5, 11:5, 7:11, and Proverbs 6:16-19 teach that Yahweh indeed has hate and that he is angry with the wicked. It is not just a sin that is going to be thrown into hell. It's a sinner themselves, as it says in the word. In Revelations 14:10, they will be tormented, burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels of the Lamb. And the whole book of the Bible is help, and the whole reason of Yeshua is so we're wise enough not to put ourselves in that situation. We have to understand who we really are and what Yeshua really did for us. We really need to grasp this. For I could say a different message and have a mega church following me, but I'm telling you what Scripture says. I'm telling you what Scripture wants us to learn. And Scripture is the word of our wonderful Creator. Yahweh is holy, clean, and perfect. That's what he is in our lives. And anyone who's living against his guidelines and instructions, according to the Scripture, that's called sin. That's wickedness. But it's not just about the act of what we're doing. It's about the heart we're doing it with. For we do it with a deceptive, we do it with an evil heart. That's what we do it with. Our hearts that we are born with, according to the picture of creation, is wicked. There is nothing good that dwells in us according to Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. That men are dead in sin, and by the nature of a child, wrath, thus a wicked person never would or could choose Yahweh. It's not our desire to choose him. Mark 7:21-23 teaches that all evil produces from the heart. See, we have this desire, a selfish ego. That's what our goal is in life. It says in Genesis 6, you know, the Yahweh teaches every intent and the thoughts of man's heart, that it's only evil continually. Romans 6:14-20 teaches that man is a slave to sin. Ephesians 2:15 says unbelievers are in enmity with Yahweh. And Romans 1 says believers are haters of Yahweh. that we would rather choose our life over the life he has for us, our way over his way. That's why it says in the Bible, there's a way before each man that seems right, but ends in death. What it really comes down to is in our actions, when we think about the one true Elohim, the one true God and our creator and what he designed for us, man hates that and doesn't want that. Man's choosing a different way. But we have to understand that Yahweh is just and man will get what he asks for and what he deserves. But Yahweh is also holy and lovely. And people say, well, how can a holy, loving God send any man, let alone a wicked man, send any man to a place described as hell? And the answer is, if you're a good judge, the criminal must be punished. Do you understand? If you're a good judge, the criminal must be punished and they must pay justice for their crime. That's according to scripture. You know, and the person standing there in a courtroom says, well, look at the good things I've done in life. Why are you just focusing on the bad things? Trying to convince the judge otherwise instead of taking responsibility for what he's done. The scriptures are very clear that Yahweh cannot acquit the wicked without becoming an abomination to himself. One of the most important scriptures of all of the scriptures is Proverbs 17:15. Acquitting the guilty and condemning the innocent. Yahweh detests both of them. He cannot set the guilty free. Somebody had to pay. Somebody had to pay for this. All the wickedness that's been done. Somebody had to pay. And then we understand the solution and who came down to pay the price for us as we were sitting there on death row and deserved the death penalty. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8, 9, you know the grace of Yahweh through Messiah Yeshua, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty might become rich. John 6 says, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of them he has given me, but will raise up them at the last day. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. Do you understand? It says in the scripture, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they would live. And through Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, that was from Ezekiel 33, but through Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, Yahweh gave us a second chance. He's given us another chance. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of Yahweh, not a result of works, and no one may boast. Yahweh simply gave Yeshua to take our place so we could be set free and get it right this time. Yeshua came first to take the place for the sinners, but he's coming back again for the righteous, for those who wake up and get it. And Yahweh is going to do everything possible to discipline us so we figure it out. So we figure it out. We understand what Yeshua did for us. The redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of Yahweh's grace that he lavishes on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in Yeshua to be put into effect when at times reached the fulfillment to bring unity with all things in heaven and on earth under Yeshua. Romans 11 verse 5 and 6 says, so too at the present time there is a remnant chosen by Yahweh, by grace, and by grace that it cannot be based on works. So we understand. We got to understand the whole idea of Yeshua and his whole idea of why we became alive in him and what happens when we follow him. For it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteous of Yahweh and a new creature in Yahweh. And all the glory be to Yahweh. And he gives us this opportunity, this opportunity to just take the, as it says, and people say, to change the dirtiest, filthiest, worst man of them all, to make him the most glorious, the glorious thing. A new creature, completely new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Yeshua, a new creation has come. The old has gone and a new is here. That's why we must be washed away clean. The water washes away the old. Then new comes. And a new comes. So we think about that. And we think about how Yahweh wants us to act. And it says in the scripture, you will be known by your fruits, or they will be known by their fruits. Philippians 1:6 says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring completion to the day of Yeshua Messiah. He's coming back, and he doesn't want us to live a life practicing a sin or justifying our sins. He wants us to turn and repent. He wants to understand what Yeshua did for us and what his blood did for us. And he wants to understand us to understand the heart behind this. And the heart he wants to have, the perfect, clean heart. It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may Yahweh lead your hearts into full understanding and expression of the love of Yahweh. The patient endurance that comes from Yeshua. That's what he wants to understand. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself testifies with the heart that we are children of Yahweh. That we are children of Yahweh. That we would come to learn and rely on Yeshua alone. That we would love Yahweh more every single day. That we'll have a great sense of our sin and our wickedness and our wicked hearts and the need for a Savior on a daily basis. And we'll confess our sins on a daily basis. And we'll have a repentant heart to change from that on a daily basis. To become obedient to the words and the commandments of our Creator instead of making excuses and loopholes. To understand all this, to grow and to become fruitful. To get this. To understand this. And what it was all about when Yeshua says, I have water that'll quench any thirst forever. And what he meant by that. And what the water he gives that some people can't understand. It says, for those that are willing to submit to him will not comprehend all the things that Yahweh has. And the great discipline that he gives us is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. Just as we discipline our child, just as we train a pet to be right for their safety, for their good. That's what he wants. Glory to Yahweh, glory to Yahweh. He wants us to understand this. And he takes us through these trials so we'll understand this. Job says in 38:4-9, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much, who determined the dimensions and stretched out the serving line? What supports its foundation? And who laid the cornerstone as the morning stars sang together? And all the angels shouted for joy. Who kept the sea inside the boundaries and burst from the... And it burst from the womb, as it burst from the womb. And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped in the darkness, Yahweh created all things, all things, all things. Psalms 89:8-9 says, oh, Yahweh, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone who's mighty as you? You are entirely faithful. You rule the oceans. You subdue the storm tossed in the waves. Psalms 107:28-29 says, then they cried out to Yahweh in their trouble, and he brought them out of the distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed by one word. He speaks and it happens. He speaks and it happens. You know, it says in Isaiah 48:21, they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flowing for them from the rock. He split the rock and water gushed. And I tell you what, the water that our Messiah leaves us, we will never thirst. Never thirst. As it says, Yeshua said, everyone who drinks this water will be never thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never be thirsty indeed. The water I give will become in them a spring of water welling up the eternal life. Jeremiah 2 says, 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me and a fountain of the living water, and they have dug cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can't hold water. We think about these things. He says in Isaiah, come all who are thirsty. All who are thirsty, come. Come and drink this water. Yeshua answered and said, and John says, if you knew the gift of Yahweh, and that it is asked for you to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. That's what he wants us to do. And in John 4, when the woman said, give me this water, I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Right? In Revelations, towards the end, it says, and he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and I will give the one who thirsts from the spring the water of life without cost. We get this. This water that's there waiting for us. It's a beautiful thing, you know, and it's one of the great gifts that he gives us. And he gives us this, and we understand this, but we have to understand what the scriptures say. We have to understand who Yeshua was and what he did in our lives. And how he says these different things. And now, as we read in today's devotional, how he wants us to be completely cleansed 100% of the time. When it says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, just as Yeshua loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and present herself to him in a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Holy and blameless. We think about this, and we think about the Rahadah Kodesh, the set-apart spirit, which in a way could represent the water, right? The set-apart spirit, the Holy Spirit, the gift that he gives us that washes away all evil and guides us into the right path. And then we talk and we look at scriptures that say there's only one sin that is unforgivable. One sin that is unforgivable. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's it. It says in Matthew 12, 22, 32, then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind, mute, and Yeshua healed them so they could both talk and see. And all the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul that the prince of the demons, that this man draws out demons. And Yeshua knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city and household will be divided against itself and not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebul, by whom your people drive them out? By whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of Yahweh that drives out the demons, the kingdom of Yahweh has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander that can be forgiven, and it all can be forgiven through Yeshua. But blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either in this age or the age to come. You understand? It says in Luke, anyone who denies me here on earth will be denied before Yahweh's angels. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. We need to repent and believe in Yeshua. You understand the water that he offers us. We can't reject it. He's only going to offer water to his select few. We cannot reject that. We could say what we want to say and think what we want to think and believe what we want to believe. But we cannot come against that. Repent and believe in Yeshua. John 3:36 says, whoever believes in his son will have eternal life. But whoever rejects Yahweh will not see life, for Yahweh's wrath remains on them. Yahweh's blessed us with the ability to understand repentance and to turn from our evil ways and repent. We must acknowledge Yahweh in everything we do and trust in him with all our heart and with all our understanding and in all our ways submit to him and be obedient to him. And he and only him and only by him will our paths be made straight. It all begins with first seeking the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Simply this, as it says in Proverbs 16, commit your actions to Yahweh and your plans will succeed. Not your will, but his will be done. Yahweh says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And 1 John 2, verse 3 says, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. If we keep his commandments. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, take delight in Yahweh and he will give you the desires of your heart. We need to remember to pray, praise, proclaim, read and repent, submit. That's what we need to do. And be thankful always for all the greatness he gives us and all he's given us through Yeshua and the Holy Spirit, that the gift that he gives us. That's what we have to do. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and shun evil, Proverbs 3:7. Hold dear and hold tight to these things. We need these reminders every single day. We need these reminders. It says in Matthew 10:32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge them before my Father in heaven. And I ask you this day, how many people have you already told today that Yeshua died for them? And how many are you going to continue to tell? I tell you all right now, Yeshua died for you so you could have life through him. But you must be willing to give up your life and be a new creature in Yeshua every single day. This isn't about somebody who read the Bible many years ago or somebody who kept a commandment when they were a child. Every day we have to be renewed in Yeshua and let his blood wash us and accept that gift of the Rahadah Kodesh and live a life of pureness and holiness and spotlessness, not focusing on things of the past that the enemy wants to destroy us with, but have the joy of the future that Yahweh offers us, a future and a hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah, everybody. May Yahweh be with you this day, and may you suffer well, my friends, suffer well. Have a blessed day today and always, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. I'm Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. Our current sermon series is entitled Balance. If you feel like your life is out of balance, you need to find the right life balance. Join us for worship Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday 9 or 11 a.m. or online at thegraceplace.com/watch. We're located at 1550 Salerno Road, Stuart, Florida. You can call us at 772-287-6388. At The Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
It's always hard to leave your home. When you leave behind good friends and family, it's so good to know that I'll never be alone. I have a friend who will always be with me. It's always good. Take take the time to find out what you'd really like.